Hello, I'm Mabel Jong, and I'm here now with Heidi Pribel, a Boston-based interior designer and antiques dealer, who, while working on a client's newly purchased home in Beacon Hill, came upon an ornate white marble mantelpiece. Heidi, that was back in 1999. How did you know that this mantelpiece was something very special?
Well, the two female figures called caryatids were each exquisitely carved in a posture that's considered a tour de force by art historians. My heart just raced. From across the room, clearly there was a diamond in the rough.
Wow.
I remembered from my art history classes that the contrapposto pose, when a figure is standing on one leg with a knee bent, really kind of captures the human form in a sinuous fashion. And, you know, the hips and shoulders turn. It's an exciting posture.
And also the draping of the fabric was significant?
Well, that's just gorgeous. The carving of it throughout is very sophisticated. It's nearly three-dimensional.
Tell me how it was originally commissioned and how it made its journey to a home in Beacon Hill.
It was originally commissioned by a Dr. John Joy, whose home was on the corner of what is now Joy and Beacon Street. That was commissioned through Thomas Appleton, who lived in Laverno, Italy. He was a consul there, having been confirmed by George Washington. He was taking advantage of local sculptor's skills at the nearby Carrara quarries and was designing architectural elements for Americans made out of marble. Up to this time, there were no marble quarries here in America.
Okay, now this line of owners, it's called Provenance.
Yes, provenance. Okay. And this has a really tight provenance in that Thomas Appleton's account books are at the Boston Public Library. And I was able to find notations of this mantelpiece along with the sculptor, the quarry owner, the ship that brought it to Boston, then got it to Dr. Joy's home, which, by the way, is Charles Bulfinch's first residential commission years before he did the State House. Charles Bulfinch is considered America's first architect.
These details certainly add to the history of the piece. Does it also add to the value of the piece?
Absolutely. The fact that there is a provenance from beginning to end is the reason the MFA was keenly interested in it. It's got over a 200-year history. Yeah, it gives it a lot of value, and particularly of Boston interest.
These caryatid mantelpieces were highly desirable. There's even one in the White House.
There is one in the White House. It was ordered by James Monroe after the War of 1812. It's very, very much restrained, whereas the mantelpiece that I found was ordered during the federal period in 1805 upon Thomas Jefferson's second inauguration. The time was highly inspirational.
Now, you found this piece back in 1999, and then you ended up purchasing it in 2011. How did that come about?
I was so surprised to hear my clients ask whether or not I'd be interested in purchasing the piece outright. It was no secret that I adored the piece. It was not the easiest decision because mantelpieces are not highly prized. In addition, nobody collects mantelpieces. They're very heavy and cumbersome, and the fireplace specifications for installing one are quite particular, and the chances of anybody having a home with a fireplace for these dimensions is fairly narrow. But nonetheless, I was just so intrigued by these caryatids. They're in a gesture where they face each other. Each of their fingers is placed on their chin in a very, what I found, quizzical position. It seems that they're trying to say something. So they're turned inward, facing each other, facing the fire in the hearth. From anywhere in the room, one of them is looking at the viewer. The caryatid's gesture of each having one finger to their chin, suggesting thought and speech. And I was trying to figure out what they were saying when I finally interpreted the bas-relief in the center of the lintel. The story of this mantelpiece was revealed to me after years of research, motivated by my passion to figure out what the gesture meant of these caryatids.
Is there evidence of other pieces like this that exist?
There are other caryatid mantelpieces. They're generally not matched pairs. These are mirror images of each other, truly matched pairs. And this one just has a lot of energy, a lot of motion.
The general public will be able to view this piece when it goes on display at the MFA. Tell me how that came about. What did it take to get the people at the MFA to become as interested in this piece as you were?
I think it's primarily the provenance. And, of course, the form is spectacular. It's probably the best form of caryatid fireplace in America. And the reason they were popular was because the foundation of our country is based on Greek principles, and on the Acropolis is a temple to Athena that displays the most well-known caryatids. Our country was just so proud. There was actually a democracy in the world. People found references to Greek forms, very desirable and relevant because our Declaration of Independence was really based on principles from the 4th century BC.
Mm-hmm. The MFA went and purchased the piece from you. What was it like letting it go after your journey?
Well, I found the perfect place for it, really.
This mantelpiece, Heidi, will be available for people to see in 2020.
Yes, it will be installed in the John Swan Gallery, which is the cornerstone of the MFA's European collection. Swan was in Paris while Jefferson was ambassador. So it's apropos that the mantelpiece will join that gallery.
Fantastic. Is it possible for someone who isn't classically trained to spot a diamond in the rough?
Well, I think luck must have an awful lot to do with it and getting out. You know, I've developed a certain amount of connoisseurship over the years by comparing good, better, and best as seen in museums. It wasn't until after I purchased the piece that I started doing research on it. I just knew the form was spectacular.
What is the most significant detail of the piece that you'd like to share?
The posture of the caryatids, which puzzled me for years, is really trying to draw the viewer's attention to the central tablet and the narrative being told there.
Heidi, when people get to see this at the MFA, what do you want them to pay close attention to?
I would like them to notice the symbols of wisdom and liberty that are depicted in the central bas-relief narrative. I believe the piece was really made in commemoration of our country's founding and to inspire and instruct the living.
Heidi, are the caryatids the most important detail?
They were really the riddle that kept me researching. I finally later on realized that they are trying to signal the observer to focus on the bas-relief in the center of the lintel, which conveys a narrative of how our country achieved our independence. The mantelpiece itself is a symbol of our Declaration of Independence, basically. Caryatids each have a pillow on their head as if easing the burden of that lintel. And in the center of the lintel is a depiction of this narration commemorating our revolution.
When people get to see this finally in 2020 at the MFA, what do you want them to take from it? What do you want them to pay close attention to?
I hope that the truth and wisdom shown there will enable generations to come. Though the caryatid form is what motivated my research, the importance is the narration that's being told on the center of the piece.
Heidi Prebel, thank you so much for your time today. I'm Abel Zhang. Thanks for listening.